Do I hear an amen? Amen? We're all on our journey, aren't we? I'm still on mine, and you're still on yours. Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to have a fun time today, and the Gospel of John is going to just season our time here. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, the words of the Gospel of John, found in the Holy Scripture. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pools of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Welcome to Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we're grateful for this day of life that you've given us to live. Lord, thank you for every beat of our heart and every breath that we breathe. Lord, we treasure this life that you've given us. God, you're the creator and we are the created. Thank you for making us in your image and thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus into our world and into our lives. And Lord, we pray, God, today as we gather to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, that you would send the Holy Spirit upon us today. I pray, Lord, that you would just open our eyes that we might see and touch our ears that we might hear. And that, and through this, we could actually walk out of here today and say that we've come a little bit closer in meeting Jesus, knowing Jesus, following Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. So this morning, this morning I just want to share kind of some personal things going on in my world, my life. And so I don't know about you, but for me personally, 2021's been worse than 2020. I don't know if that's your story, but that's my story. Man, this is a tough year. I don't even want to tell you why. Just lots of stuff, you know, lots of suffering going on in the world, lots of people hurting. And a shepherd's in the midst of a flock, and you just weep with your flock. And so the best thing that happened to me this year was my brother, who's 3 years older than me, accepted Jesus. Okay? Now, I got to tell you, guys, it's been a journey with my brother, Kenny. When I became a believer, my brother, you know, wasn't in favor of my, my phase. And early in my, around 2004 or so, my kids, we would always be praying for my brother Kenny. And they're like, "Dad, why don't, you need to go up and tell him about Jesus." So my brother lives up in Northern California in the Bay Area. And one day in 2004, I drove up there. My kids are all praying for me. And I drove up there to tell my brother about Jesus. And it didn't go well. I got a lot of pushback from him and his wife. And, "Are you telling me that I'm going to hell?" I'm like, "I'm telling you that Jesus has come," you know. I drove back and my kids were all like, "Dad, tell us the good news." Well, Uncle Kenny didn't accept Christ. So this year, my brother at Easter went to church. He's going through a divorce, so he's going through a hard time. And he went to a church on Easter and actually went to the church that my great-great-grandfather built up in the First Presbyterian Church in Napa in 1874. So, and he went back the next week. The next week, he ends up accepting Christ, and in June, he gets baptized, okay? Now, I was talking to my brother this week, and I said, "You know, Kenny, I go, I don't know about you, but this has been a hard year." I go, "You know what the best thing that's happened to me this year is? You've accepted Jesus." And my brother, he said, "You know, Frankie," he says, "well, now we have a lot more things in common to talk about, don't we? And I said, we sure do. In August, my dad and I flew up to see my brother. And my brother had he bought another house, and we just went up to see him. And as we went up there, and he, you know, it was so great talking to him, and he goes, I want you to meet my pastor, and this is my church. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. You're right? It's like, and one day he in his house, his 5,000 square foot house that he lives in with a dog, it's a beautiful house. This one room's just filled with pictures and boxes and nostalgia of stuff I've never seen before. My brother started whipping out pictures I'd never seen in my life, like this one. That's me. And I'm so happy because I get cake on my 5th birthday. Never seen that. I'm like, Kenny, where'd you get these? He goes, oh, I just... And then he showed me... I had a dog named Queenie. I remember this. Remember like Lassie? I had a dog named Queenie, and I lived up in Big Bear, and we had a group of cats, a litter of cats in our wood pile. We kept Snowball, and Snowball and Queenie loved each other. It was great. I'm like, Kenny, where'd you get this? This is awesome. And this picture right here, next one, I've never seen this picture before till August of this year. I stared at this, and I went, no way. That's my mom. She's hot looking, isn't she? That's my dad. That's my two sisters and my brother. Do you see me in there? I'm a twinkle in the eye of God during this picture, okay? I'm a twinkle in the eye of God. And I'm looking at this. I've never seen this picture before. And in the midst of it all, he opens a box and he hands me this. My mom's testimony. That I never knew existed. I never knew she wrote this. What Do I Believe? By Jean Babette Winans. He handed this to me, and it was written in my mom's cursive handwriting. Beautiful left. She's a lefty. I said, you got to copy this for me so I can take it home. And he did. I got home. It was August. And I handed it to Cinda. Check this out. She snatched it out of my hand. And she sat down. We began reading it. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 7, page... It was like right at the good part, he screwed up and didn't give me all my mom's testimony. And so so he finally packaged it back together. And this week, my wife typed it out for my family to have. My mom wrote this probably in the late 60s. So my mom died when I was 9 of cancer in 1975. And I have a hard time. I don't really remember her voice. I have memories, snapshots in my mind, you know, of like my mom here, my mom there. And I try to... like, remember those memories, you know, and then when I see pictures, it's like, wow, you know, it blesses me. And all of a sudden, my brother gives me my mom's testimony. I came to religion through the back door, so to speak, later on in life, certainly not in my early childhood. I came from what I would consider a happy home. We were given love and attention. I have two older brothers and a sister several years younger than myself. I can remember us doing many things together. One particular was going to Sunday school. We were sent rather irregularly to Sunday school because we were told it was good for us. However, I can never remember my father and mother going to church. My father was well-to-do architect. My mother and he had a busy social life. I can never remember any reference to God in the home. We never had family prayer of any kind or grace said at the table. However, we were told to say our prayers before going to bed at night. As a teenager, my interests were in science and medicine and music. The more I studied of science and evolution, the more the wonder and amazement I felt for the God who created us all. I just never have I've read this. I started reading this week. The study of science never suggested to me that this life all came about as an accident. Way to go, Mom. I felt a deep yearning to know what this life was all about. Amen. God at this time seemed a distant God. I never felt a personal relationship to God. And when I experimented with prayer, I never seemed to get any results. She got origins down, didn't she? It's kind of cool. She starts talking about she had an amazing, beautiful singing voice. She got a lot of attention in her singing voice, and she ended up winning like contests, and she ended up getting a full ride scholarship to Juilliard School of Music in New York. She lived in New York. She was in plays on Broadway and opera and all this and that and the other, and things happened in her life, and she said her voice blew up, and the doctor said it's a dead voice and it'll never come back. And my mom talks about this season of her life and this and that and the other. And I think like 3 or 4 years after losing her voice, she met my dad. She talks all about this, and she starts, Frank Winans and kids, and moving up to Big Bear. And she wanted to join a church up there and be part of a church family. She says this: I would like to mention that from time to time I would have the urge to sing, try a few bars, and my voice would break and I would toss it off as being a foolish idea. Then one morning when I was a good 6 months along carrying Frankie, I visited the Methodist Church at Big Bear. The sermon was not particularly good. Thanks for your honesty, Mom. I can't completely understand to this day what happened. They started on a beautiful hymn that is rarely heard, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." The congregation couldn't read the music and nobody was really singing. I forgot that I couldn't sing and started. My voice came back. It came out clearly, and it didn't break. I felt an inner conviction that God had healed me. My voice was back, and I knew it. I vowed at this time to never sing again for self-glorification or competition, but simply to glorify God. At this time, I vowed within myself to do this wherever I was needed, and gave my life and my talent to God. To me, a miracle had come about. I think I finally found out what a talent should be used for in the first place. 6 months after having Frankie, I sang a difficult solo in Handel's Messiah and sang it well. Way to go, Mom. Testimony. This is amazing. All this week I've been in deja vu. I've been like spinning, like walk down memory lane. I feel in some ways like I'm meeting my mom. She's feisty in here. She's spunky in here. She's strong. I just never knew this existed. Thanks, Kenny. But praise God, I think it was at this time. Testimony. There's power in testimony. You know what I kind of think, and I need to ask my brother this. I kind of think my brother might have read this, and this is what prompted him to go to church. I got to ask him, but my hunch is that he read this and he said, you know, I need to go to church. It's Easter. I wonder if my mom was preaching to him from the grave, you know, type stuff. Testimony. I never knew this thing existed. What's your testimony? Have you ever written down your testimony? Have you ever got a handle on your testimony? Your testimony? Your personal story with Jesus? Have you ever stopped to take the time and just say, man, maybe I need to write this down? I am so glad for this class and the people that encouraged my mom to sit down and write this testimony. I want to challenge you as your pastor. In next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating this church's story with Jesus. I want to challenge you guys to start thinking not about, I mean, we're going to celebrate this story. I want you to be thinking about your story. What is your story with Jesus? Have you ever written out your story, your timeline with Jesus? When I was a professor, when I taught at Biola for the years that I taught there, I taught a class called Biblical Interpretation, that's hermeneutics, spiritual formation. First thing I had my students do was write out their personal story, their personal testimony. And actually, on the notes, on the back, I'm encouraging all of you to take the time to write out your personal testimony. And it's on the back of your notes. It says, How has God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, salvation, grace, works, sin, Satan, etc., impacted your life? Use Scripture. What biblical truths did God use to draw you to Himself? What is your story? Your personal story. Where have you been? How did the Lord call you to Himself? How is your identity continuing to be shaped in the image of the Lord? What is your present level of intimacy with Him? Where is your testimony today, right? And I would encourage my students, draw out a personal timeline of people and circumstances that God used to bring you to Himself. Have you ever got a handle on your story, your personal testimony? You know there's power in a testimony? We're going to be encouraging. Next, we're going to talk about the testimony of the church, but I want you to think this week about your personal testimony. And then, here's a fun one. There's a card here that says, how has God used WCC in your journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus? I would love to know how God has used this church to impact your testimony. What circumstances? People, right? What people and relationships has God put? And we're going to ask you to think about this week. And just write down, who are the people that God put in your life? How did God bring you to Himself? What did God use? What churches? God used this church to help my mom get a handle on this. And you know what? I think she was preaching from the grave to my brother. She had her testimony lives on for the next generation. So wouldn't it be cool if your kids someday pick this up and read this? Your kids? You write it down. You get a handle on it. I want to encourage you as a pastor to do this. My students, they would always, the first thing they did, they had to come back and it was like 7-8, they would, and it was so fun to hear their stories. See, I had leverage with them. They needed a grade from me. But they did it and they were like, that was so cool for me to walk down memory lane. I hope that this week you can say, this has been really cool. Just what is your story? What do you believe? When you put it on paper, it's going to last for a long time. What's your testimony? You know, the New Testament is filled with testimonies, right? One of my favorites is found in the Gospel of John in the 9th chapter. Did you know that a whole chapter of the New Testament is given to one man's testimony of how he met Jesus? And we don't even know the guy's name. All we know is that he was blind from birth. And it's kind of cool because when you get into it, you read John 8, Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's probably maybe a year before he goes back and is crucified. And he is really having it out with the religious leaders. In John 8, if you want to read it this week, you can read this, the conflict that's going on between Jesus. And at one point, the religious leaders pick up rocks to throw at him because they're so mad at him. And they at one point call Jesus an illegitimate child. He calls them children of Satan. It's bad. Okay? And Jesus leaves, starting John 9. They walk out, and the beginning of this man's testimony unfolds for us. They walk out, and here's a guy that is begging and probably have done this his whole life, and he's out in front of the temple. And this is what it says. John 9, 1 and 2. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? Good question, by the way. This guy has physical suffering. Why? Who sinned? Him? His parents? That he's been born blind. Not a bad question, right? Hey, how do you deal with human suffering? Anyone? Right? It's a good question. Hey, God, why suffering in the world, right? Jesus says, well, He has bad karma, right? He did something bad in his past life, and now in this life he's being punished. Let's just leave him alone. God's punishing him. Let's move on. Is that what Jesus says? No. No, not at all. He says, neither this man sinned, nor his parents sinned. But this has happened so that God might be displayed at them at this moment, man, right? And then Jesus gives this beautiful, hey, you know, as long as it's still called today, we're called to do the works of God. But night's coming. And he says, man, I'm the light of the world. And he gives an encouragement to his disciples. Man, this is the time to not waste our time, but this is the time to seek God, seize God, and do the works of God, because this is the time we have today. Now. And then he turns around and he spits on the ground. And he makes some mud, wipes it on the man's eyes. Do you think the guy said thank you? Money? No. Great, thanks, right? I don't know. He says, go wash down in the pools of Siloam. Beautiful place. You remember a few weeks ago when I talked about Hezekiah's tunnel? And I talked about my brother Mike leading us in Hezekiah's tunnel. And Hezekiah's tunnel ends at the pools of Siloam, and it's kind of cool. Whenever you go, you guys want to go to Israel with me next year? We're leaving March, and it's good to go. I'll take you through Hezekiah. It ends at the pools of Siloam, and archaeology has the pool. It's really there, and when we come out, we teach on this guy. We talk about his story. He comes to the pools, and he washes his face, and people, as he begins to see, he begins to see. Human suffering. Why do we suffer? You know, it's funny. In the Bible says that, yes, our suffering is related to sin. It's in the Garden of Eden. It's the fall of mankind. That generally speaking, all of us, the reason we suffer is because it's related to the fallenness of humanity and sin. And it has nothing to do. See, I have scoliosis. Is that my fault? Is it my parents' fault that I have scoliosis? Answer? No. Why? It's just the gene pool's corrupted, people, right? We live in a fallen world amongst fallen people, and our bodies are flawed and they're broken, right? Billy Graham was asked, you know, he has Parkinson's, and this, I think it was Larry King says, don't you think this is unfair of God that, you know, you should get a pass? You know, I mean, look, you've served God your whole life and you have Parkinson's. And Billy Graham says, man, this is just a part of the human condition. This is just because we're fallen. He goes, I don't get a pass. We all suffer, right? There's general suffering happens, but it's not specific. The simplicity of this person's sin, suffering because of this, Jesus just washes that away. It's more complex, man, right? But you want to know something? All of our testimonies orbit around the fallenness of humanity. If you want to take notes this morning, you want to get a handle on your testimony, can I encourage you to take note number one this morning? Write this down. All our testimonies, my mom's testimony, my testimony, your testimony, originates from our brokenness before God. This emptiness, this loneliness, this sense of shame and guilt that every human being has, this fear of death that we all have, our flaws, our faults, our sins before a holy God, it's all because of our brokenness. We're broken people, right? You know what's really cool? So my mom, as I reached 30, I sensed a great deal of boredom with my life. What was this life all about? Good question. Answer? Where does it stem from? An emptiness, a loneliness that's in all of us. Why? It's because it orbits around our fallenness. I'm broken. You're broken, right? I love it. It's true. It's what it is. So this guy is broken. Yeah, he's physically broken. Jesus heals the guy. This is his testimony, right? He's healed. Behold the beginning of this man's testimony, right? He meets Jesus. And can you imagine, you guys, okay, as soon as he washes and he begins to see, can you imagine what was going through his mind? How long has this guy been blind? His whole life, he's never seen anything, right? He washes his eyes and all of a sudden light begins to dawn in his eyes. He's never seen his parents. He's never seen the sky or green trees. He begins to see the colors of a sunrise, the flowers of the field. In one stroke, Jesus heals this man. Changes his life forever, right? So what does he do? Does anyone know? He says he goes home. But he doesn't even have to count how many steps to turn left at the corner. The things that this guy has done his whole life, he's walking and he's seeing and he's going home, right? And he's healed, and is his life better for it? Right? Yes. His neighbors see him. John 9, 8 through 14, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't that the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was, and others say, no, it just looks like him. But he himself kept, no, dude, it's really me. And he kept after defending that I'm me, right? It's kind of cool. How were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and washed, and I went and washed, and I saw. Where is this man? I don't know. So they grab him by the arm, and they take him back to the temple to the Pharisees. Why? Because Jesus healed on a Sabbath day. Busted. Right? Busted. You kidding me? They grab him by the arm and they take him back and they send him before the Pharisees. When you look at this, it's kind of fun. Take down note number two. Write this down. In many of our testimonies, people have a hard time believing we've changed. They had a hard time believing this guy changed. They kept thinking, it's him, it's not him, maybe it's him, is it him? In many of our testimonies, people have a hard time believing we've changed. Did that ever happen in your story? It happened in mine. My friends that I hung out with, they kept saying, Frankie found religion, you know, let's just get him back partying again. I'm like, dude, I'm out, I'm done type thing. Hey, guys. So we're up there visiting my brother. He took us out to this steak place. And Kenny, that's nice, you know, and we're eating, and he says, hey, let me pray for us. Awesome. He begins praying. And in the midst of his prayer, I looked over at my dad, and my dad looked over at me, and he just shook his head. I just can't believe this is happening. That happens, I think, in a lot of us. People that knew us before and then know us afterwards, they're like, I can't believe this. Did that happen? Is that a part of your testimony? It's part of this guy's. It can't be you. Is it you? Maybe it's you. No, it's not you. It's me. It really is me. You know, like, I love that, right? I love that. So Jesus heals this guy, and he's walking home. And sure enough, the people are like, what? It's him? It's not him? And it's so sad because these guys should be going, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. You can see. Let's have a party. Let's dance. This is amazing. But they don't, because it's like, do you see the calendar? It's Saturday. They grab by the arm and they take him back. Sabbath. Busted. Busted. Hey, can I share this with you? Jewish people back then, and many Jewish people today, are very, very funny about how they practice keeping the commandment of the Sabbath. Have you noticed that? I have stories. We have a Chabad in the back, and I've told you the story that was hilarious. You know, as they were building that building, they were in a tent on our property, and I came here one Saturday, and the rabbi ran over to me and asked if I could do a big favor. And I said, sure, what can I do? He says, follow me. And I walked over. He goes, will you turn on the light switch for me? I said, sure. Click. Thank you so much. No problem. I walked away. I'm like, wait a minute. You know what? To him, turning on that light switch was lighting fire. It's sin before God. And then I thought about it. Did that guy just purposely make me sin before God in his mind? Yeah. Hey, I just want, people are funny about Sabbath back in the days of Jesus and today. I mean, it's cool. If you go to Israel with me, and they have Shabbat elevators where you get in and it stops at every floor because you can't press the buttons. And it takes a long time if you got a big hotel. It's like waiting in every floor because you can't light fire. It's interesting how they interpret that because it's work. You know, guys, I get it. Do you even remember the movie Castaway when Tom Hanks was trying to light fire? That was work, man. Do you know lighting fire now is just clicking a switch? Is that work? I mean, they've lost it. See, Sabbath was originally set as a day of rest and worship, right? Celebration for God, right? Rejoice before God of who He is in the midst of all this creation. See, but the religious leaders of Jesus' day had made it into a dreary institution, hedged in by all kinds of scribal regulations, as if the holiness of God can be protected by legalism, right? And Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, that was a sin to them. Well, He worked, right? Really? Jesus is working. People, it seems that Jesus on purpose healed on the Sabbath. Anyone seen The Chosen? Do you remember when He healed the man at the pools of Bethesda? And as He healed the guy, He goes, Jesus, how come You did this on Saturday? He goes, sometimes you just got to stir up the waters. He does it on purpose, over and over again, proving, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. God, Jesus says, I am the Messiah, God, and I am the Lord over the Sabbath and the purposes of it, and you've messed with this. He leaves fighting with the leaders, and He just heals the dude on the Sabbath. I think it was a shot to them from John 8, proving once again that He is the Lord over every day, including the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We don't worship. It's made to help us in our walk with God. Why are we here today, right? He stirs the waters. And now, isn't that Jesus? He stirs the waters. They brought Him to the Pharisee, John 9, 13 through 18. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Oops. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked Him how He had received His sight. He put mud on my eyes. The man replied, I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. This is a bad man that you claim healed you. This is a bad man, right? But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? And then the Pharisees start fighting with each other. Then they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes He opened. He says, I think the guy's a prophet. They still don't believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for his parents. I think you're lying. Where's his parents? The guy gets thrown in jail because Jesus healed him, right? He's waiting now. His parents show up and his parents are like, hi, son. Hey, Mom, you can see, right? And they're like, and it looks like they lawyered up when you read the text because they're like, hey, man, he's of age. Yeah, he was blind. He can see. Don't ask me. Ask him. Way to go, son. It was almost like, you ever been in the principal's office? And then they called your mom or your dad and you're just waiting there and you showed up and you're like, hey, Dad, you know, like, it kind of has that feel when you read the text. It's beautiful. And then they finally, it's like, okay, so I guess he's not a liar anymore. You know what's interesting? Write this down. This is kind of cool. Note number 3. Sometimes when we have a life-changing encounter with Jesus, people just push back. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus of Nazareth. You know, Frankie, he's just a man. Push back. I remember that. Frankie's found religion. Hey, Frankie, Jesus is just a man. The Bible's not reliable. Push back. Did you get any of that? Did you get any of that? This guy's just getting all kinds of pushback. Jesus is just, he's not a good man. Did you get pushback in your testimony? Did you get any pushback? You're just narrow-minded and bigoted. Oh, you're just stupid if you believe in that. Push back. Jesus is just a metaphorical character. That's just ignorance. Pushback. Did you get pushback in your story? This poor guy gets pushback. I love this man. As you read his testimony, you can go, dude, I see myself in this in many ways. And so this poor guy, they bring him back in. They go, tell us the story again. And so they ask him the same questions. In John 9, 24, and I love this, it's because he gets pushy, he gets testy. A second time they summon the man who had been blind. And they look at him, give glory to God by telling the truth, like you've been lying this whole time. We know this man's a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, I was blind. And now I see. That's my story. I don't know what if Jesus is a sinner or not, but let me tell you, this is my story, man. I was blind, and look at me. I can see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I wonder if this guy's going, dude, how many times do I have to tell you this, right? He says, I answered. I told you already. And you don't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? There's the problem. This guy's ready to go, I was blind and now I see and I want to meet this guy again and I think this guy has a lot to teach me. I want to learn from this guy. I don't want to learn from you, the Pharisees. Then they hurled insults at him and said to him, you're this fellow's disciple. We're the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And here it comes. He's finally done. Do you ever lose your patience? Then the man answered, that's remarkable that you don't know where this man's from. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. I'm standing right before you. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He starts trying to teach the teachers a lesson. You know how hard it is for a teacher when the students start trying to lecture the teacher? They don't take kindly. To this, they replied back to him, you're steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. How's his day? What do you think of his testimony? Do you think this guy put his head on the pillow at night and said, wow, what a day. Hey, you know what? Here's a note, just an encouragement for us. Note number 4, you can take notes, testimonies. Can I tell you this? We cannot be afraid of telling our testimonies. This guy just stood his ground. You know, Pastor Frank has had his fair share of sharing with atheists over the years. And they'll look at me and, Chaplain, you seem so intelligent. I can't believe you'd think this stuff, you know? And all of a sudden I start saying, hey, man, let me tell you, I was blind, but now I see. And I was a person that struggled with alcohol and drugs as a kid in high school and emptiness and just meaning. And I met Jesus. And then they listen. Then they'll listen. Tell him your story. This is how Jesus touches my life and gives me peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, hope and meaning and clarity in the world, man. When you meet Jesus, it's like you can see finally. And you don't be afraid to tell your story. Do I hear an amen? Isn't that what that blind man, he's like, dude, I'm just going to keep bringing it. And they finally threw him out. Fine, throw me out. I love it. Don't be afraid to tell your story. He's real. You'll get pushed back, fine. It's normal. You know, it's a beautiful, when Jesus heals the demoniac in Mark chapter 5, and I love this because when the guy, he's like, Jesus, you've healed me, man. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And it's kind of cool. In Mark 5:19, it says, Jesus didn't let him. He says, but go home to your people and tell how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. Isn't that what my mom did? Doesn't she tell how God has had mercy on her and the good things that the Lord has done in her life? This is her testimony. You can call it coincidence or this or that or the other. She's like, man, I'm in church singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name" and God just gave me my voice back. It's her story. I just want to declare the good things the Lord has done, and for the rest of my life, I just want to sing for Jesus. That's your story. What's your story? Don't be afraid to proclaim your testimony and declare the good things the Lord does in your life. Do I hear an amen? Come on, guys. Amen, right? And you know what? It gets better. After this guy's kicked out, I almost wonder if Jesus was watching, going, that poor guy, he just caught it on behalf of me. And finally, the dude's by himself, and Jesus finds him. And he has a one-on-one with him. Have you ever had that one-on-one with Jesus? And he just comes up and sits next to you. How you doing today? Right? Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. John 9:35. And when he found him, he said to him, so do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me that I may believe in him. The one who's speaking to you is the prophecy of Daniel 9 fulfilled. I am the Son of Man. Jesus says, you have seen him, and in fact, he's the one speaking to you. And the man said, Lord, L-O-R-D, L-O-R, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped Jesus. The guy woke up that morning, physically couldn't see, and spiritually was in blindness to many degrees. By the end of the day, he can physically see and spiritually see, and his beautiful journey of understanding, he met Jesus this day, right? And if it's so cool, when you read John chapter 9, the man born blind calls Jesus a man in John 11. This man named Jesus. And then in verse 17 he says, he's a prophet. And then in verse 33 he says, he's not a false prophet. This guy's from God. And then in verse 35 he declares him the Son of Man, messianic title of Daniel 7. And then he declares Jesus is Lord. Do you see his progression? Starts with man, ends with Lord. Did you see his journey? His journey of understanding who Jesus is? Do you know that's in all of our testimonies? All of our testimonies. Note number 5. In all our testimony, there is a journey of understanding who Jesus really is. It's in all of our testimonies. Where are you on your testimony? He's a man. I have some friends coming next week that are Muslims, celebrating the 50th anniversary of our church. Their understanding of Jesus is that he's a prophet. They're on the journey. People invite people next Sunday. It's going to be a great opportunity to celebrate what God has done in this church, is doing in this church, and what he's going to do. Everybody's on a journey. He's just a man, really? He's more than a man. He's a prophet. He's from God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Lord. Where are you on your journey? And how did you get there? How did you get there? Right? See, there's a person in the Bible whose testimony takes up a whole chapter. John chapter 9. The man, I once was blind, but now I see. It's his stories right there for all of us. And you know what? If you read his story and you think about your testimony, you can see similarities between his story and yours. If you think about it, it's in there. And it's beautiful, man. Question, does this man's testimony end in the Gospel of John chapter 9 or does it begin? It begins. This wasn't the end of this man's testimony. It was the beginning. What happened to this guy? I can work. Did he get a job? Did he get married? Did he have kids? Can you imagine this guy sitting in your church? Hey, you want to come up and give your testimony again? How many times do you think this guy gave his testimony? I mean, he lived in the first century. A year later, Jesus dies on a cross and raises from the dead. Where do you think this guy was? I think he was I bet this dude was there on Palm Sunday going, "Yoo-hoo, that's the guy that healed me." I think this guy was all over the first century church. His testimony was everywhere. And your testimony is being written today. Ah. Listen to this. My mom starts writing, "This is what I believe about baptism and the Trinity. I do believe in the Trinity as three separate identities. Then in another sense, they are all from the same God. They can be classed, they're one. I believe the Spirit is of God and is with us all. I want to add in closing that this is what I believe today. But I want to keep my mind open so that I may have an opportunity to come closer to the whole truth tomorrow." Right on, Mom. I'm learning. I'm growing. This is what I've learned as of today. And then she takes a shot at my little town of Big Bear. "I want to thank you all for your inspiring and enlightening course. By strange coincidence, the type of course that you have offered was exactly what for the past year I was hoping I would have the opportunity of taking. I really didn't expect this opportunity in Big Bear." A little shot at my hometown from the lady who lived in New York City. She's spunky. I got to meet her, man. I got to meet my mom. This is just, I just keep reading this over and over again. I had no idea that I'm like, she's 6 months pregnant with me and she's at church singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," and all of a sudden she just took over the place, began belting it out with an opera voice. And she just said, "God has healed me." Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate. It's our 50th anniversary of this Jesus community, man. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. Can I ask you, somehow stimulate you, encourage you? If I was your professor, you got to turn it in or you're going to fail my class. But that's not the case with here. I'm not professor, I'm pastor. I want to encourage you to think about your testimony. And I want to encourage you to start writing out your testimony. And actually on the back, this is the assignment I gave my students. Take the time to write out your personal testimony. How has God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, salvation, grace, work, sin, Satan, etc., impacted your life? Use Scripture. What biblical truths did God use to draw you to Himself? First one that hit me was John 7. Jesus says there's a way that leads to death and a way that leads to life. And the way is broad that leads to death and the way is narrow that leads to life. I remember reading that going, I need to figure out this other way because the one I'm on stinks. Biblical truth. What biblical truths has God given you? Write them out. Your personal story. Where have you been? How did the Lord call you to Himself? How is your identity continuing to be shaped in the image of the Lord? And what's your present level of intimacy with Jesus today? Draw a timeline, a spiritual timeline. I was here in church or maybe a Sunday school teacher and my first Bible, people God puts in your life, circumstances, trials, tributes, and how God is just moving in the midst of it all. And write out a timeline. People, if you do this, someday somebody might read this that you had no idea was going to read this. Someday God might use something like this to bring your grandkids or your son to faith. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 12:11, it says that in the last days that people will be proclaiming their testimony to the end. And this is what it says, that the saints in the last days will triumph over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. There's power in a testimony. It's like when you stand before a court, you give testimony. This guy was standing before a court giving testimony. This is who Jesus is and what he did for me and where I'm at. What has Jesus done for you? What is your story? Write it down. Think about it. Because next week, as you're waiting in line to get an In-N-Out burger, double grilled onions. There's going to be this wall, and we're going to have kind of a timeline of the church. And you're going to look at it and go, yeah, it started here, and these are the people, and they're black and white pictures of saints that have walked before us. We stand on the backs of giants, and all through. But you know, all through the testimony of this church, it's individual people that God has touched and impacted through 50 years. And we're going to encourage you to take this and stick it on the wall, and we're going to keep it up for the whole, all through the rest of the year. How has God used this church? Do you know? That church that asked my mom to write down her testimony became a part of her testimony. If they hadn't asked her to do what they did, I wouldn't be reading it today. How has this church become a part of your story? I'd love to know. God bless that church in Big Bear. They had my mom write down her test. I think it was the First Baptist Church, Big Bear. Anyone go to Snow Summit? It's the little white church. As you're driving down Snow Summit, it's just on the left up there. By them asking her to do that, they become a part of her story. This is fun, man. Welcome to my world. I've had a very interesting week this week. It's like my mom's speaking to me from the grave. It's like I'm meeting her for the first time. I'm so grateful that she did this. And that just makes me think, people, we should all do this. How many of you are going to think about writing out your personal testimony this week? Raise your hand. How many people are like, no way, Pastor Frank, never. I'm going to get you. The youth group's going to come and toilet paper your house this week. Wait, you might want that. No, never mind, the youth group's not going to come toilet paper your house this week. Yeah, right. Lord, we just want to thank you for the power of testimony, man. Lord, you're the one that said, this is your opportunity for testimony, for testimony. Lord, thank you, God. I just want to thank you for the testimony of my mom. I didn't know this, Lord. I'm grateful that this happened. I'm thankful for my brother's salvation, Jesus. We plant, we water, you're the one that causes the growth. Doesn't happen in our time, but in yours. God, I pray my brother would continue to grow in understanding who Christ is. I pray for his relationship with you, where he's at church today. Bless him, I pray, in your name. God, I'm thankful that, God, people that I love dearly, I know is going to be with me in eternity. God, may we care for our families and just pray over them. God, may we just beg them to come to Christ. Lord, thank you for our story, our testimony. Lord, help us just to remember the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters in here today. Help them, Lord, to think through who was the first person that shared Christ with them. What was their journey of faith? How did they enter into this process of meeting Jesus and knowing Jesus and coming to follow Christ? Lord, I just pray that this week would be a week of reflection between this Sunday and next Sunday. As we celebrate you, Jesus, all hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? I can't imagine that. All hail the power of Jesus' name. You know what song we should sing to end this church service? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Hey, Mom, sing with us from heaven, right? Can we stand as we close this service? Hail the power of Jesus' name.